Ezekiel chapter 42, verses 13 to 20. This is the word of the Lord. And he said to me, "The north chambers and the south chambers opposite the yard are the holy chambers, where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There they shall put the most holy offerings, the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter the holy place, they shall not go out of it into the outer court without laying there the garments in which they minister, for these are holy. They shall put on other garments before they go near to that which is for the people." Now when he had finished measuring the interior of the temple area, he led me out by the gate that faced east and measured the temple area all around. He measured the east side with the measuring reed, 500 cubits by the measuring reed all around. He measured the north side, 500 cubits by the measuring reed all around. He measured the south side, 500 cubits by the measuring reed. And he turned to the west side and measured 500 cubits by the measuring reed. He measured it on the four sides and had a wall around it, 500 cubits long and 500 cubits broad, to make a separation between the holy and the common. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that by your Spirit you would open our minds, that we might understand your word. And by the same Spirit, we ask that you would open our hearts, that we might treasure your Son as he is here offered to us in the Scriptures. We pray these things in his name. Amen. What does it mean to be holy? It is a word that we often use, but that we rarely define. We confess that God is holy. Indeed, this is the great confession of heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We know that God is holy. We know that he is most holy. But what does it mean? What does it mean that he is holy? What does it mean to be holy? As with many of life's most difficult questions, we may find help by turning to the book of Leviticus. If we interpret reality as defined by the world of Leviticus, we are led to three distinctions that extend to the whole of reality. What are those three distinctions? Those three distinctions are the holy, the common and the profane. The profane being that which is unclean, or that which defiles. The holy, the common, and the profane. We may define the world according to these distinctions. And these distinctions help us to understand the meaning of holiness. If we compare what is holy to what is profane, we may define holiness as that which is pure. It is for this reason that we associate holiness with light. Indeed, we are told that God dwells in unapproachable light, that in his light we see light. The distinction between the holy and the profane. It is the distinction between light and darkness. For this reason, the Apostle John writes, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. To be holy is to be pure. To be most holy is to be most pure. And so our Lord, who is most holy, he is not one as refined by fire. He is himself a consuming fire. When we compare what is holy to what is profane, we may understand that to be holy is to be pure. And so when the Lord declares that he is holy, when he tells us to be holy as he is holy, it is a call to be pure as he is pure. It is a call to thoughts that are pure, to words that are pure, to works that are pure, to a heart that is pure. To be holy is to be pure. But if we would understand the whole of holiness, we need to distinguish not only between the holy and the profane. We also need to distinguish between the holy and the common. If something is not profane, it does not necessarily mean that it is holy. There is a further distinction made between things that are not profane. That which is not profane may be either holy or common. And when we compare what is holy to what is common, we may define holiness as that which is set apart, or better yet, as that which is sacred. We may see this distinction between what is holy and what is common in the days of the week. there are 7 days in a week. One of them is holy. 6 of them are common. The Sabbath day is a holy day. The Sabbath day is a sacred day. It is a day set apart. It is set apart from the other 6 days. And on that holy day, we are called to refrain from doing not only what is sinful or profane, but also from what is common to those other days, however good those things may be, such as work or recreation. And on that day, we are to give ourselves to what is holy. We are to give ourselves to what is sacred. We are to present ourselves to the Lord. We are to give ourselves to his worship. The distinction between the holy and the common, it is the distinction between earth and heaven. It is why the psalmist writes, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man." And it is why the common will only last as long as the earth endures. In the world to come, there will only be the distinction between the holy and the profane. It is the distinction between heaven and hell. But as long as this world endures, as long as this earth endures, we may still distinguish between the holy and the common. To be holy is to be set apart. When we distinguish between the holy and the common and the profane, we understand that to be holy is to be pure and to be set apart. And this is why God is most holy. Not only because he is most pure, but also because he is most set apart. Truly, there is nothing profane in him. There is also nothing common in him. There is nothing with which he may be compared. He is qualitatively different from all that is outside of him. His being is not our being. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. That's why the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. However holy we may be, However, like him we may become, there will always remain a distinction between God and all that he has made. He is most holy. He is holiness. All things are relative to him. He alone is absolute. Truth is relative to him. Holiness is relative to him. We know that something is real if it has been made by him. We know that something is true if it has been spoken by him. And we know that something is holy by how near it is to him. Holiness is measured by one's proximity to the Holy One. Holiness is measured by one's nearness to the Lord. We see this too in the world of Leviticus. Consider the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle was set in the midst of the camp of Israel. If one were to enter the tabernacle, he would first come to the court. And if one were a priest, he might enter further in. Then he would come to the holy place. And if one were the high priest, he might enter yet further still. And he would come to the most holy place, the place where God dwelt in the midst of his people. Why was that place called most holy? Was called most holy because it was the place of his presence. To enter that place was to enter the presence of the Holy One. Holiness may be measured by one's nearness to God. It is why on the Day of Atonement, the goat that bore the sins of the people was driven outside the camp and into the wilderness, away from what was holy, away even from what was common, for it had become profane. So it had to be driven far from the sanctuary. It had to be driven far from the place of God's holy presence. That is why on the day of the cross, Christ, as he bore the sins of his people, was driven outside the gate, and there forsaken by God. For us, the Holy One came profaned. For our sake, the one who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might become holy, that we might draw near to God. This is what it means for man to be holy. To be like God. And to be near to God. This is why the church is holy. The church is being conformed to the likeness of God. And the church has become the dwelling place of God. Brings us again to Ezekiel's vision of the temple. In that vision, we see the same distinctions being made that were made with the tabernacle. Distinctions between what is holy and what is profane. Distinctions between what is holy and what is common. In chapter 41, Ezekiel was shown the most holy place. And in chapter 42, he sees again a holy place. We are told that the priests who enter the holy place, that they must put on holy garments. And that there they enjoy holy food. We are also told that when they leave that place, they must put off those holy garments. But the distinction between what is holy and what is common, it remains. And at the end of chapter 42, we are told that the wall of the temple separated what was holy from what was common. In Ezekiel's vision of the temple, the distinction between the holy and the common remains. And yet, a distinction begins to blur. For when we come to verse 12 in chapter 43, we are told that the whole territory on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. A place that is described in chapter 42 as common will be described in chapter 43 not only as holy, but as most holy. How can it be both? How can a place be both common and most holy? This is a mystery. It finds its explanation in Christ and the church. We have said before that Ezekiel's vision is a vision of glory. It is a vision of the life to come. It is not a vision of a place to be built by man for God. It is the vision of a place prepared by God for man. That place, we now know it to be Christ and his church. For the stone that was rejected by men has become the cornerstone. And Christ is building the church as the dwelling place of God in glory. And one day, We will see it coming down out of heaven from God. A place will only be and will ever be most holy. By his grace, he will dwell with him there. The church, as it will be seen on that day, is not a wholly different church from the one that may be seen on this day. The church, as it will be seen in heaven, is not a wholly different church from the one that may be seen on earth. For the body of Christ is not two, but one. And so, for as long as the earth remains, the church on earth is a place that is both holy and common. We see this in Christ himself, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Lord of glory. He was most holy. Yet his appearance was common. He humbled himself to be profane. And so it is with our life in him. In baptism, he sets us apart as holy. And as his Spirit rests upon us and dwells within us, we become a most holy place. By that same Spirit, we put to death all that is profane within us. And as long as we are here, we dwell in bodies that are common. We dwell in spaces that are common. We engage in work that is common. So much of what we do in this world will pass away with this world. The very ground in which we have toiled and the increase it has given, both will pass away. The earth and its kingdoms will pass away. All that is common will pass away. The church will not pass away. Christ will not pass away. His years have no end. The believer in this world, he is clothed in the humility of Christ. His appearance is common. Yet he may still be distinguished from others in two ways. The first, he resists what is profane. The believer resists what is profane. He resists sin. He resists temptation. And when he falls into temptation, looking to the one who is able to sympathize with him in his weakness, who is tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And the second, he honors what is holy. He honors what is holy. He honors sacred time and sacred space. He remembers the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And he does not neglect the assembly of the saints. For as the church gathers together on this most holy day, she enters into the most holy place. And as a kingdom of priests, here we put on holy garments. Here we partake of holy food. And as we draw near to the Lord of glory, we are transformed by the light of his face. The longer we have gathered, the further in we are drawn, and the holier we become. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, resist what is profane. Honor what is holy. For here the resurrected Christ greets you to clothe you in his holy garments, to satisfy you with his holy food. Let us offer ourselves to him. Amen.